Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed.
Welcome to our very first Worcester Naz podcast.
Thank you.
We're excited to have Pastor Nathan here with us, and this is a podcast where we just get to recap the Sunday message and go a little bit deeper into the things that maybe we didn't get a chance to talk about on Sunday or we'd like to talk a little more about. And so thank you for helping us kick that off.
Glad to be here for the morning after Extreme Generosity. Love Does.
And that was the title, Love Does. And the extreme generosity, I was thinking about it as we got into it, that our values here at Worcester Naz are truth, worship, prayer, kindness, and at the very end there, it's generosity. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about what makes generosity one of those core things that Worcester Naz believes in, stands on, will not compromise on. Why is generosity wrapped up in one of our values here?
Yeah, I would say I jotted down for a future message that I'll call it extreme generosity evangelism. Okay. Because it is so contagious. And furthermore, we have to get back to, first of all, you know, our vision, loving God, loving people, living transformed, first of all, is we have to receive God's love. That's the first step, because God initiated in his generosity. So that posture that I always talk about many times, palms up, it's about we don't have anything to give until we first receive. Right. So how can we ever close our fist or clench our fist? Because it's constant download. We've got to keep receiving from the Father's generosity. It didn't end. It didn't begin and it didn't end with the Father. He loved us so much that he gave, John 3:16, but he keeps on giving. It's a present active tense. And we just never get done, because that is the opposite of selfishness to me. And it's thanking God and thanking others. When I focus on him, I see generosity in every way with his grace and his love. And how can I do anything less than to receive it and to pass it on and to live with open hands and an open heart. So to me, generosity makes me look up to God.
Yeah. And it's just as important there as our other values, truth, worship, prayer, the things that you hear that are more obvious. And generosity is almost that flavor in our congregation that just kind of covers everything. It flows in and through everything. It's in the food that people are cooking. It's in the way people love each other and are generous with their time and sitting with one another and listening to each other.
Yeah, I may have mentioned, but if when we're in the grip of grace, in other words, God's put the squeeze on us with his grace, and we like to see that. But what does that produce? Generosity. To me, that's a byproduct of his grace, being in the grip of his grace.
Yeah, and I think you and Dixie model it well for the rest of us, and one of the reasons it's baked into Worcester Naz, it's part of who you guys are.
Yeah.
And I'd be telling out of turn if I went and said everything that you guys do behind the scenes. It's just very generous, and you did say in your message, you'll never be more like God, more like Jesus than when we give. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think, is that like a core attribute of God that he's just giving, or is it because he's the source? He's where everything in the world comes from. He's our creator. He's the source of life and all of that. He can't help but be generous, or is that one of the things that is just one of his attributes?
Sample to me. When I think about the attributes of God, I remember just a college course of the attributes of God. That was a whole course. But if you take a sample of God, generosity is going to be in it. You know, love, generosity. I mean, those things are interchangeable. That's truth. That's all the above. But in every aspect, he is a generous God, grace-giving, and how can we do anything but, if we're going to represent him, but more of the same, of the same. Imperfectly, though, we do.
It says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from our Father of heavenly lights. And
no strings attached.
Right.
No strings attached.
And I often think about that and in like what it means to be in heaven or hell, and hell being the absence of God and everything that we know that's good and perfect, that it'd be absent of all those things. And giving and generosity, as good as it feels to give and to receive and be a part of that exchange, none of that is without him doing it first.
So. Right. I believe that one of our biggest problems in our culture, in our world, is selfishness.
Yeah.
And I don't know of anything that cures that more than acts of generosity. And the generous, most generous people I know are the most joy-filled, the happiest. They smile the most because they've discovered the secret of living. And that is, it is better to receive or to give than to receive.
Right.
And I know that flows well as people speak it, but it's another thing to live it. I mean, that breaks the back of selfishness.
Well, that's important. The selfishness runs counter to where God's going with generosity. It runs exactly in the opposite direction. And if you want the results of selfishness, you'll get them pretty quickly. And if you want the results of generosity.
Yeah, and it goes way beyond money. I mean, I could have emphasized that a lot more, but like you talked about Dixie and I mean, it's not that we have all these means. That's not the point. It's all the things we do. And I always call it the five T's. You know, that's your touch, your tears, you know, all that. The treasure is the last one I usually mention. You know, your time, your talent, your touch, your tears, and your treasure. But we can find generosity activities wherever we are. I mean, right now it's just so easy. Well, I did, or I would now if that would have changed, but oh, I will in the future. No, you won't. Now's the time to start. And I cannot emphasize, God time is always now. Always now.
Yeah.
Always now.
You had mentioned Dixie and how she gives and the generosity that she displays. And I'm sure there were other acts of generosity that got left on the cutting room floor as you were ticking them off in your brain. Is there anything in our community or in our church that just stands out to you, like an act of generosity that you saw that was just so touching and so it just changed your world or changed your life or saw it change somebody else?
Yeah, I'm always looking for the little things. And back to Dixie, by the way, the reason that she is the way she is is largely because of how her parents were.
Right.
And they are two of the most unselfish, giving people.
Right.
And her mother, a person of very few words, but so consistent, just others, others, God and others, that's what she lived for.
Right.
So that has flowed through her life, and she picked it up through osmosis. You know, it just she just soaked it in through the years because that's what she lived. In fact, it's very difficult for her to receive sometimes from others because her parents were always the ones giving.
Yeah.
And generally. So, but around the church and community, man, I just look for the little things. I mean, I was in Lowe's some time ago and or another one might have been a store or another one, but something big place like that. And I saw a little boy with his mother. And she was struggling with something, and he was helping her out big time, big time. And that so touched my heart just watching it. I mean, he was trying to make things easier for her, getting difficult things and getting a card out for her. And I just felt inspired to go up and I called that out. I spoke to that young man, told him how proud I was, and also rewarded him for that. Just because I said that really touched my heart. Here, I want you to have this. And so it's like that. It's the small things. It's the kind, it's the generous acts, the and then some. You know, what I say around here a lot is that it may not matter if you don't, but it sure will matter if you do. And that's when it comes down to acts of generosity. I don't care what it is. I mean, just, and I want it to get to where it's a more reactive state. It's just, we don't even think about
reflexive
it. It's not like I'm planning on, like you see a little old lady pushing a cart of groceries on the side of the road and it tips over. You just pull over, put the flashes on and go help her. And it's just, you don't think about it. You don't think who's watching. You just do it because there's a need. So that's what I'm looking for. And I try to call that, especially with our children, our grands, but the kids around the church. I'm always looking for those kind, generous acts of inclusiveness where they go up and say to somebody, hi, my name's, you know, and to pull them into the circle. So we need to broaden our thoughts about generosity. It is not monetary, but again, I've never met a person who isn't generous who's really joy-filled and happy, ever.
Right.
And furthermore, we've discussed it before. Whenever I talk about things like extreme generosity and particular, you know, returning God's tithe and giving beyond that, I've never met anybody who's grumpy or gives me a hard time about that when they're doing it. It's about those who don't, and they want to defend it. They want to explain all the reasons or say, oh, that's just Old Testament. No, it's cover to cover. God is generous. And it started organically in the Old Testament long ago.
Right. And it was Abraham given to Melchizedek before there was a law, before there was even a church.
And that's what I call organic. He just did it because, and what was it? It was love driven.
Right.
And that's what generosity is. It's first of all, love for God, but it's love for other people. And it's not saying, again, I'm not asking anybody to be extremely generous with what they don't have. I mean, we see examples of that all the time where we want to be generous with what other people have. But I'm talking about what he has placed in our hands, how we can make a difference, our time, our talent, our focused attention.
And what you're describing there is generosity seems to bleed over into all the other areas of your life. If the money thing, if you feel like you can't be generous there, you're probably not being generous over here.
Right.
And if you're being generous in all the other areas of your life, how could you not give in instances where you see a need and things like that?
Yeah, and in family dynamics with little kids, to model that and teach it. That's where most of the bickering and frustrations come for parents, because they're not generous, they're not sharing and things like that. And man, when you see that, that's when you land on it and just speak life about it and encourage them to keep doing it. So
yeah, we're quick to correct that selfish behavior and like, no, you got to share. But being just as quick to compliment when you see the generosity.
Yeah,
like,
and the other thing, are we modeling it ourselves? Yeah. You know, it's one thing to tell our kids, share, be generous, but are we being an example of that? And live for that. I think every day, I don't know, but I want to plan on being extremely generous.
Yes.
And we've talked about that before. And you're next up in the preaching of the series. And so much depends upon that. We've got to have some margins so we can be generous.
Yeah.
Like if we don't have time, we're going to walk right by people in need because we don't have a margin of time. And that's why John Maxwell would always say, walk slowly through the crowd. Why? Because your time is you need to give margins so you have time to interact with people.
Yeah. I remember now what I was going to say earlier. Mm-hmm. When you're generous with little, you'll be generous with much. The increase or decrease of funds doesn't really change who you are at the core. You could get $1 million tomorrow and you're just more of whatever you were before. So if you weren't generous before, you won't be generous later. And I've found that to be really true in my life personally.
Well, I gave that example briefly, a true story of the person in our church. They said that they were playing the lottery, and I think there was some debate about it, dialogue. And they said, oh, no, if I win, we'll tithe. Well, they didn't tithe before, probably, so I guarantee you that when they did win a big winning, we never saw it. And they went on, tipped their hat and went on their merry way. So that's why it starts now. No, you're exactly right. You're going to... If you have more, you're just going to be more of what you already are.
Right.
It's a heart issue. And what that does, what more does, I think I pointed out, it exposes your heart.
Yeah.
It exposes your heart. And you know, that's not bad. That's good. We need our hearts exposed because we're sometimes full of ourselves. And generosity can show us that. It mirrors the heart of God, generosity.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about how giving the tithe and putting God first.
Returning God's tithes. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that correction.
By the way, I heard Pastor Aubrey correct herself. She was praying yesterday and she said something, but then she corrected it. And I commend her for doing that.
Returning the tithe and giving offerings those kinds of things. But how that orders the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like putting God first in that intentional way, setting it aside ahead of time, preparing and saying, God, you're first over the 100% by giving.
And that's an intentional free will choice.
Yes.
Nobody can make it. I can't make anybody doing anything. I'm sharing this with passion because I believe in it. I have testimonies galore of people whose lives have been transformed when they have submitted to the Lord's sovereignty, and they've said, God, this is symbolic. This is about putting you first. And quite frankly, that is one of the last things we're willing to let go of. Right. Many people, because self-created men and women tend to worship their creator, guess who that is? They think themselves. They never say that, but that's what they live out and act. So that is so symbolic of releasing and of total surrender. I mean, God can work with that. And then people are blown away. They said, I can't define it. I can't write it out. Out the end of a pencil or whatever on a computer, but man, God has kept his promises and he's provided more than I need so that I can share with others.
And sometimes that he increases the income and sometimes he decreases the expenses, but
in
the end, he gave us the 100 and he's going to be faithful as we give the tithe.
I would say also, I don't think I hit it, but I'll probably say in the series, I don't even consider tithe, returning God's tithe, giving.
Right.
That's like I borrow something from you.
Right.
And I say, Sheldon, I want to give you this whatever, this tractor that you loaned me or whatever. I'm not giving you anything. I'm returning it to you. And I think that's the offense to God sometimes.
Right.
No. So giving, returning God's tithe, and I said yesterday again, I know people struggle with this. So it's returning God's tithes. That's the first and the best. The best is the first. The first is the best. So if you're struggling with the percentage, okay, don't call it a tithe, because the tithe is by definition the first 10%, the first 10th. But put him first. If you'll start doing that, I know that'll get in your heart of generosity. God works with that. He infuses that with his presence, and you'll long to do more and more. And it won't be long before it'll be stepped up and your life. You go, why in the world didn't I come to this decision sooner to put God first? And that's really what this is about. It's God's firstness.
Yeah.
He's still first, whether I return what's his or not, but I want him to be first in my life, in our family, in our home.
Yeah. Again, so the generosity can't be contained to just that. It bleeds out into all the other areas of your life. And I think that's how our lives get ordered, by setting aside that 10% and saying, I'm returning this to you because you first gave me, and the rest of my life then orders around that.
Yeah. And I think that's right. I think that's right. Yeah. It's a release point. It's a starting point. I wouldn't even, so I'm not equating returning God's tithes to generosity. That's the least we can do. That's what he asked for. That pleases his heart. But that's a starting point, and then that just releases things beyond that. So
that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to separate those two from giving versus returning.
Right.
Yeah. For single people, we talked about marriage relationships and how there shouldn't be a love deficit. We should be trying to outgive each other.
Yeah.
So many relationships, you run into a love deficit, and it just seems like both people have so many needs that are going unmet, and we're just deficient in giving. We're
after
not
all
looking
I've done
to out,
for you, you know, that
we're not
kind of
looking to outgive each other. We're keeping score of what we lack.
Right.
And I was just thinking through, like, single people, what's a good way for them to engage in that whole thing? Because in marriages, it's like I can be looking to outgive my wife in as many ways as possible. But for single people, or maybe people that are going to be married at some point, how do you start modeling that now?
Well, these are life principles, right. and it begins where you are. You have family. Most people have family. So you are so in debt, so to speak, to your parents. Are you giving them your time and attention? Are you generous with them in return? So you practice it where you are with your work companions or whatever, your employees, just finding ways to do that and then some. It wouldn't matter if you don't, but that extra thing to honor them saying, I want to do it. And it matters, because I don't care who you are, where you are. It's the little things, the thoughtfulness behind it, the generous thinking about it. Like, I want to take this load off of you. Can I do that for you?
Yeah.
Those are ways that we can be generous just to help people out. So it starts where you are. And all these are life principles.
Yeah.
It works, you know, in school with classmates, if you're on a team, whatever. Generosity is attractive.
Yeah,
it is.
It sure is.
I don't know many people that don't like generous people.
Yeah, I was thinking too of some of the most generous people that I know of, the people that I would put at on the Mount Rushmore of being generous. Most oftentimes, it's not even people that have given me large dollar amounts of things. They've given me a place to stay, or there's always something warm to eat when you go over to their place.
It's the thoughtfulness.
Yeah.
It's the thoughtfulness that makes all the difference in the world. And we know, and as I said, God's not impressed by amounts of money. He is impressed by that heart of generosity, and he's impressed with percentages. You know, I really believe that. And that's why I think that tenth is established as that starting point to build on. That's a point. It's a starting point for a deeper surrender of life, where all of my life revolves around God. Because, you know, what we need to ask ourselves, are we really generous? When was the last time that our generosity impacted our life, where I had to maybe change something or sacrifice something in order to be generous? Again, it could be time. It could be something I've saved for, but I want to redirect, whatever, because the Holy Spirit prompted me. But it's just that palms up posture of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to gently prod us.
Right.
It's not an order. It's not a command. But boy, it matters if you do.
Yeah.
Not just for them, but for you, because it's an act of humility, an act of surrender, an act of obedience.
And the extreme part of the extreme generosity that we're talking about. You talked a little bit about the Macedonian church. They were known for generosity.
Yeah.
They weren't known for being wealthy.
Right.
They weren't known for having the greatest means of any of the early churches, but they gave anyway. And the power of that, just being a generous people over and above, even from a point where they didn't have very much. And that is extreme generosity. I think the world kind of expects or understands people with means doing something that seems impactful. Yeah. But when you see somebody who you're pretty sure they don't have the means, and they're being generous anyway.
And that so impacts a community. And I think really I reflected on the Macedonian Christians. I mean, they had to be newer Christians because that all wasn't that old. But they already had a reputation for it. And I believe that in this community, Worcester Nazareth has a reputation of being generous and even going to serving all the workers at schools, the teachers and staff. We don't have to do that. We want to do that. Why? Just to appreciate them, just to say we care about you. Thank you for the way that you serve us. And that's why we do those things, because it doesn't point to us. We're not looking for thank you notes. We believe it points to and praises our Father who's in heaven. And generosity does that. And that's a universal language.
Right.
I mean, when I've been on mission trips, generosity touches people's hearts, and that's a common language.
Yeah, it sure is. I love the missional aspect of that and the way it shows the love of God to our community. We have a really good challenge here. I could not be more excited about this series, just looking for opportunities to be generous amongst ourselves, outside of our church building, even within our family dynamic, like we talked about here today. Just looking for ways to be kind to your kids, be generous to your spouse, those types of things.
Generous in your praise of others. And that's not about what they do. That's for who they are. And that's so important, our kids and our grands. Praise them for who they are and be generous in your thanks as well. So I'm so passionate about this. This is life-changing. Yeah. And I just urge people again to think about these things and talk about them as a family, you know, to don't just think to yourself, I am or I'm not. Ask, do you think we're a generous family or do you think I'm generous?
Right. Boy,
you might not get the answers you expect, but it'll be a wake-up call and a gut check for sure.
Never know what you get when you ask
kids.
That's
for sure.
One last thing that I was going to get it to as we wrap up. We are generous with our prayers around here.
Yeah.
And one of the ways we do that is we just pray right out. We pray now. If you see that need, that reflexive generosity, even with our prayers, I think that's something that we need to go above and beyond with all over again. Continue to make that an emphasis of, you know, I see a need instead of saying, hey, I'll pray for you later. How about we just pray now? And that is a really good display of generosity.
And the sacrifice could be just like at the Skyline Chili. That gal would not have responded if generosity didn't precede that. The invitation to prayer. I mean, that really changed the dynamic of everything, of her being willing to say, in other words, don't just pray for me. Would you pray with me right now?
Yeah.
And the inconvenience of that is it could be a little embarrassing if you ask, what if they say no, or it could be a little awkward sometime, but she was all in, leaned in. So generosity just opens up the door for so much more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you all for joining us this week on the Worcester Naz podcast. We were happy to have Pastor Nathan to kick it off, and we're looking forward to talking to some other leaders and other people here at Worcester Naz about the things we talk about on Sundays. So
thank you. More extreme generosity to come.